Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Christ has a certain knowledge. He knows of where things are, just like with the coin in the fish's mouth with Peter paying the taxes. He knows it's there. Beforehand, he ordains that these words that you speak, the Lord has need of them, and they give it to you. Why would someone do that? Except it was ordained of God, except that God had made it so. Verse 4. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Verse 5 is a reference to Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, thy king cometh unto thee! He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus was going to ride in Jerusalem on this colt and on this ass as a sign, fulfilling the prophecy of the one coming, the king, having salvation, lowly though, riding on an ass. He's coming in peace. He's coming to bring peace. He's coming to deliver man from their sins. But Zechariah 9:10 has reference to another coming. And this is the coming often people have in their minds. Especially in Jesus' day, they really were thinking, he's going to come and throw off the yoke of the Romans. He's going to come and throw off the rule of the unbelievers. Verse 10 says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. They're looking for that dominion, not the dominion within, but the dominion without. And that is the hope of those many of those people. It is not entirely a false hope, but it is not the spirit of the time in which Jesus came. He came to fulfill a certain aspect. Verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went to the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called an house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hear thou what these say. And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? The Pharisees were displeased with the things which were being said. They were displeased with what they saw. And it has reference to their fears. It has reference to their unbelief. They didn't believe he really was the Messiah. They're looking at him as a man, and as a man they thought he ought to see what's happening. The people are getting excited. What if this causes a revolt? What if this stirs things up? What if the Romans are displeased with us? What if they come and destroy us and take our place? Don't you see what they're doing? Don't you feel guilty about this? You, a mere man. And they're crying out, Save now, Son of David. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You're letting this go on? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Put a stop to it. Don't you hear what they're saying? In verse 9, the Hosanna to the Son of David has reference to Psalm 108. Verse 26 and 25. But I want to start with verse 22. Because this also contains another scripture that is a prophecy of Christ. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He that was rejected, he that they did not receive, became the headstone of the corner of the building of God, of the work of God, of the salvation of God. The builders said, no, that can't be it. And they cast him aside, and he was crucified. But God took that, raised it from the dead, and it became the headstone of the faith, which would become salvation to all mankind, that no man could approach unto God except by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Everyone's heard that song, right? 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Save now, Hosanna. That is the Aramaic for save now. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. O God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Jesus was that sacrifice coming. He was coming to save, with salvation, the rejected one who would become the sacrifice to save all who would be saved. Point is that whoever would be saved by him. Not that every last soul is going to be saved, but rather all the saved are of those who are saved by him. And without him shall no man be saved. What about Old Testament say? It's them too. Them too. By him. It's by him. The things they were trusting in, they were trusting in faith, in shadows that were pointing to him. So their faith was in Christ. It was in that which God had ordained, in that which God had anointed, which as the works that they should do to obtain forgiveness of sins by his grace. Because all are saved by grace. There's no man who can be saved by works. But faith produces works. Faith without works is dead. Don't misunderstand me. So they're asking, who is this one? You know, this is the cry. They think Messiah's coming. They're crying out, he's coming. Here he is, the Son of David, the one we've been waiting for. And the Pharisees seeing this, they're nervous about this. That he lets it happen and lets it go on. It's almost unbearable to them. They were very displeased. This isn't good. This isn't good. And he goes into the temple and casts out the money changers. You know, and then that sold doves. There was selling of sacrifices. You know, why bring your own sacrifice when you can buy one at the temple? Why, you know, and when you buy something at the temple, you can't buy it with normal money. You've got to buy it with special money. So let's change your money. Of course, we'll make a little profit off of that.